Well, pray for my voice that it gets better. I guess I got a cold, and then that was made worse by the times at the fair with the dust and the smoke and just different things. My allergies, my asthma issues didn't handle very well. So voice issues right now are not good with Bible school starting tomorrow. And, of course, church today, and just a lot of things going on. So please pray for my voice, and certainly I don't want to be a hindrance to anybody. I always hate it when I can't speak clearly, because what I have to say is very important because it's the Word of God. And so I want everybody to be able to hear. So we are on lesson number 32. It's good to be back in the auditorium and back. Just have to get used to it again. I about tripped coming up the steps, which is, it's funny because you forget after so much time. And this view is, after 12 years of having this view and everything, then now it's just different. I mean, I feel like I'm way up high. I am compared to downstairs. So anyway, it's just such a different view and everything, but we're excited. I'll let you know some things that have happened this week, some blessings. We have beautiful floor covering out there, and I could tell you had to be impressed with that. Now, it wasn't too expensive. The tape was kind of expensive, but anyway, we have a lot of exciting things going on. So praise the Lord for that, and praise the Lord. This has been quite an experience for the last 6 months or so. And to say it's at the end of it, it's not. But, I don't think it'll be the end till we get to heaven, right? Then everything's perfect. So we're constantly remodeling our own lives. And that's a blessing to be able to do. Well, we're on lesson 32, God's attack on the earth. If you need that, raise your hand. Brother Harndon has those. Lou would like one of those. Anyone else? Lesson number 32. And again, we are on section 6. It is a long section, chapters 14 to 19, dealing with the anger of God. This section is Revelation 16, and it is the vile judgments of God, and it is the wrath of God, obviously, as we've said. Revelation 16:1 is our memory verse. Let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 16:1, and again, Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 16:1. And Father, we are in awe at this passage of Scripture that deals with the wrath of God. We cannot imagine the earth being, as the Bible says, it goes well beyond anything that history has ever recorded, other than the Bible history and Noah's Ark and different things like that, but it is so true because you said it's true, and so I pray that you'll help us to recognize that and use it in our lives to be more determined to tell folks about Jesus, because it is going to be a terrible, terrible time when God's wrath is poured out, not only on this earth, but God's wrath in people's lives who are not saved, and who burn in a place called hell. And I pray that you'll help us to be convicted about not telling and not talking about the gospel. And just bless, Lord. We have a lot going on, a lot of children, a lot of people on our property. Help us to give them the truth from the Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we looked at number one, he attacks followers of the beast. Number two, he attacks the sea. The sea, of course, was made like a dead man's blood. And then number three, attacking the rivers, that the rivers and waters, drinking waters, were turned into blood. Number four, he attacks the son, and again we talk about how so many people worship the son and did certainly over the years and have over the years, but here the son is obviously under control of God, and God controls the temperature of it and turns it up hotter than can be imagined, and people are burned, and people are again. You know, one of these situations where people are suffering and instead of turning to God, they blaspheme the name of God. Then number five, he attacks the kingdom of the beast. And this is where we ended last week. We talked about that. And here we go from a solar heat where maybe the sun was brighter than usual. The Bible doesn't necessarily say. But then as far as the kingdom of the beast, the sun is put out. It's darkness. And somehow it is blotted out on the seat of the beast, the throne of the beast. So wherever the throne exists at that time, we speculate as to different possibilities. In Revelation 2, it was in Pergamos. At one time, it was in Babylon. This could be a rebuilt Babylon, a restored Roman Empire. There's a lot of speculation there. Some would say Rome, maybe. Somewhere with the ten nations, which are represented by the ten toes in Daniel. We ended with 2 Thessalonians 2:4 that we didn't find. I had written down 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but anyway, the possibility of that being the temple in Jerusalem, which is under control of the Antichrist at that time. So wherever this vial is a direct attack on the kingdom of the beast, and we looked up several verses where darkness often is used in dealing with and talking about Satan, talking about the things of the kingdom of Satan, and we immediately go to a verse I've thought of often as a new Christian. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and I think back to so many of the things as an unsaved young person that you do in the dark. And you don't, well, I don't want anybody to see. And again, that is a good picture of sin. And we made reference to bars, nightclubs, different things where it typically is very, very dark. So so now we have an attack on the kingdom of the beast. And it is if you can imagine, just a devastating attack where it's just complete darkness. And again, if you could, in my mind, I think of news reports all over the world, and because you have the idea, this is just a certain area, the kingdom of the beast. It doesn't seem to be everywhere, and we might speculate that God's people, that those who are saved, would not have this same problem, as was true in the book of Exodus with the God's people leaving Egypt, and the darkness did not affect them. So. Again, these are all things to think about, but we talk about Revelation being a revealing of Jesus, and certainly that is what it's all about. We started with that several years ago when we started our study, but I do want you to understand, not only is Jesus revealed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we also see something else in Revelation, and that is that Satan is being revealed for who he is. Satan is being revealed as well, and so I want to talk about that a little bit as we deal with this particular vial, and just kind of think about this attack right on his throne, right on the throne of the dragon, right on the capital, the main area, the main city, and how Satan is going to be revealed for who he is. Father, I pray you bless our time. And speak to our hearts, give us what we need from your word. And again, I ask for your power, and please help my voice not to be a hindrance. Amen. Look at Revelation 13, 13. Revelation 13 and verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. It is amazing how people, even people today, follow Satan. I mean, they boldly follow Satan. They have no problem saying that they worship the devil. It's amazing. We all know what the devil stands for. We know what the devil, who he is, what he is. And certainly during the tribulation, it will be magnified, I'm sure, many, many times over. Very, very clearly, people that have chosen that way. They've chosen the devil. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 is familiar to us. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And so there are some people that somehow they are deceived into believing that he's good. You know, there are a lot of people that will equate Satan with fun. I was observing Brother Chad Dahlberg at the fair, and he had a group of teenagers that he was talking to, and they were kind of sneering, and I kind of get a kick. I kind of watch and see how he handles things, and watch people handle things, and you know, they were kind of making fun of him, and you know, kind of laughing, but a couple of them were sort of paying attention. And actually one fella, I don't know what Chad, I couldn't hear totally what he said, but the guy got out his lighter, and he held his lighter under his arm, and he lit it, and you know, he held it there, and they went, ow, you know? And I believe Chad was telling him, you know, about hell and how hot hell is. Well, you know, most people, they will say, well, I don't, you know, I want to have fun. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't know where people get the idea we don't have fun. I haven't figured that out yet, other than the fact that we are against getting drunk, and we are against adultery, and we are against, you know, I mean, things that the world think are fun, but you know, I was watching people at the fair. I'll watch people during vacation Bible school. I think we have a lot of fun serving God. I've watched people, we were ripping carpet out up here, and that, you know, people were having fun. I mean, it was work. It's hard work, but yet there was laughter and kidding around and giving each other a hard time and all that, and we're having fun. But a lot of people, they're deceived by Satan and somehow think that the devil equals fun. And, well, you know, God obviously has allowed him to deceive in the way he deceives. God has allowed, and you know, let's be honest, we've fallen for his tricks in the past. There have been times every one of us here has been tempted by the devil. The devil obviously has power. God has allowed him to have power. Luke 4 and verse 6, very clearly, he has power. Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Again, talking about the temptations of Christ, and God, you know, the devil has no power unless God lets him have it, and so he does, you know, he does have some power, and he used that power to deceive. But here, you know, in this last 42 months, which again is where we believe we are in the tribulation, as we study it, we see all that light and all that power fading. You understand, the devil is going to be defeated here. Now, he will rise up again after the millennium, but then he'll finally be defeated. But he is going to take a major, major, major hit at the end of the tribulation. And so his light and his power are starting to fade. The transformation of being an angel of light, well, that's starting to fade now. The costume is being ripped off, amen? Man will eventually see him for what he is. Do you understand? People in hell are not going to be saying, oh, the devil's way's fun. You know, he'll be public enemy number one in hell. His way, it will be obvious, that's not fun. It seems like anyone who's ever awakened in the morning with a hangover would understand that the devil's way is not fun. Seems like anyone who's ever had a bad drug trip would say this way is not fun. Seems like anyone who, has ended up in jail and prison, they would say, boy, the devil's way is not fun. But I'll tell you what, during the tribulation and during this time, all of a sudden, it will be very much revealed who really is in control. Because when you darken the capital, his throne, his place where he is the strongest, obviously man is going to see him for what he is. And I want you to think about how these judgments, these vile judgments, they overlap. Because again, if somebody was sore from verse 2, that first vial, that grievous sore upon man, then the chances are good they're still sore from that same vile judgment. If someone was burnt from the fourth vial when the sun was turned up hotter somehow, whatever happened there, well, they are still burning. They are still sore and in pain from that. Now they're just burning in the dark. Kind of like anytime you have a sunburn, and I haven't had a sunburn this year. I haven't had time to be in the sun. So, I remember many, many times being out in the sun, and this burns real fast up here. I don't understand. I guess because it's so close, but it's like mercury, you know. But I'll tell you what, I remember many, many nights when it's pitch black and I'm burning because I got a sunburn. Well, think about the people who have this grievous sore and from the first vial, and then they were scorched from the sun, and now they're in perfect darkness and there's no relief. No relief. And they're gnawing their tongues for pain, the Bible says. Notice again, verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now again, maybe there is another pain that is inflicted, the Bible doesn't say, or maybe it's carryover from the other vials, but at any rate, they are in darkness and in pain. And all of a sudden, you know, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the powers of darkness, they don't seem so good. Doesn't seem so great. George Jamerson goes to the jail every week, and I appreciate him. He's done it for years and years, and faithfully goes. And it's always a blessing when somebody says, I've had enough. You know? Now, they will say that first time. And they'll say, I got a letter recently. It said, this isn't just a jailhouse conversion. It's amazing how they'll say that, and then they'll be back in jail after being released after about 2 weeks, you know. But just like each of us had to come to a realization that the devil's wrong, God's right, and we need to choose God's way. It is amazing when you finally see the devil for who he is. And, I've been able to talk to people who are involved in the occult. I've been able to talk to people that say they are witches or warlocks. They're involved in those things. And it is always a blessing when they realize, you know, who is going to win and who is a loser in the whole thing. But these people, unfortunately, according to verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds, they didn't see it yet. They still haven't seen it. And so there they are in darkness, cursing God's name. I do want to remind you that man in Eden, perfect bliss of the Garden of Eden, turned against God. And so we cannot be surprised. We always think circumstances are going to bring people to Christ. We always think that'll do it. We always think there's always two sides. One, if it gets so bad, they'll finally turn to Christ. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Or if they have bliss, they'll turn to Christ. You know, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Well, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't always happen. And it seems like it would, but it doesn't. And here, they are in pain, and they repented not. They wouldn't change their mind. Though unbelievable pain, unbelievable circumstances, complete darkness and pain. Hard for us to imagine what that's like. I did mention this last week. I do want to mention it again. Probably the plague of waters, not necessarily the ocean, but especially the drinking waters. I'm thinking probably that was a temporary plague, at least either temporary or it didn't affect all the drinking water, because obviously men continued to live, and without drinkable water, human life would end in a short time. Plus the fact that the next attack, the next vial, is the Euphrates River, which is full of water, and the Bible doesn't say anything about the water being blood like it was under that vial. So we come to number six, and that is the attack on the river Euphrates. And this is, we hear this mentioned a lot in talking about the coming of Christ and talking about especially China being a power that will be involved in the end time, the Battle of Armageddon. Again, that's all speculation. The Bible didn't say that necessarily. But this is an interesting vial. It is an interesting judgment of God. It is, again, let me remind you, these are all the wrath of God. And we would think, God in his wrath, he's just going to crush man. But that isn't how he works. God is in this vial, as we look at it, we're going to see God opening a door for man to crush himself. As God often does, he gives man another opportunity. And here we're going to see that as all the armies of the east converge. And God basically just opens the door. And all right, what are you going to do? Remember how he opened the door for Pharaoh? Pharaoh did not have to send his army into the Red Sea. God left it open. You say, yeah, you know, that wasn't a very... Isn't it amazing what sin and sinfulness and how foolish we become? Isn't it amazing? It should absolutely amaze us how foolish we can become. And Pharaoh is a great example. Well, let's see what the armies of the east do. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. And again, God, it's very clear. God has made it clear. That is exactly why the Euphrates River was dried up, so that the kings of the east, they had the way is prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And again, we go back. In my mind, I go back to Pharaoh, and there he stands. He's just watched all of Israel walk on dry ground through the Red Sea. He's just watched all that take place. He's got to have in the back of his mind 10 plagues that plagued his country, just about wiped it out. And now all he has left of his country is his army. And I have to stop and I have to think, Pharaoh, what are you thinking? But then we see this influence. You know, same old influence. Have you ever watched somebody, either somebody on the news or somebody that you know or maybe you heard about it or something like that, and you say, what in the world were they thinking? What are they thinking? And I come to that. And sin causes us not to think. You get so wrapped up, you don't think. And so the Bible says they are the spirits of devils. And so you don't think. And so these demonic influences, they are such a strong influence. And the Bible says that they gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. You know, you got to stop and think about, well, what are these people thinking? What are they thinking? Well, they're sore. They've been burnt from the sun. Their water supply has been altered, and their oceans have been turned into a blood-like mass of putrefying whatever it is. And they have been in darkness, and they're angry instead of repenting. And when you get angry instead of repenting and you get bitter, you're liable to do anything. You're liable to do anything. And so, boy, this attack on the river Euphrates, God just says, well, let's just see what they're liable to do. And we know the result of that. Now, it's interesting, the Euphrates River. Let's go ahead and have our ushers come, if they would, and we'll receive our offering for our class. And fellas, if you'll do that, I appreciate it. I'm going to just give you some things under this. The Euphrates River is 1,800 miles long. Okay, so you're going to dry that up. That's a huge thing. But for God, it's just a little thing. Amen. And but again, I want you to understand, we're not talking about a creek. How many of you say creek? How many say creek? How many say creek? All right, you finally were on. Okay, good, good. I appreciate that. But anyway, this is a huge river. Now think about this, 1,800 miles long. In some places, the Euphrates River is 3,600 feet wide. Okay, that's a lot. That's a little over half a mile wide. Okay, that's big. And in many places, it's 30 feet deep. Okay, the Euphrates River has been the dividing line between Western and Eastern civilization since the beginning. You read about it in Genesis. The Euphrates River is a key river. It has divided the Eastern and Western civilizations since the very beginning. It formed the eastern boundary of the Roman Empire. It's very significant. And so it should not shock us that this would take place. It shouldn't be a surprise. This again, it formed the eastern boundary of the Roman Empire. It has always been a natural barrier. Okay, history frequently mentions its hindrance to military movements. Okay, it's often talked about in history of battles and wars. The Euphrates River is key. This vial that is poured out from God dries it up. And we have to think immediately. Just dries it up. Again, God can do that. Now, you know, it's interesting. And I stop and I think about this. It's interesting. God parted the Red Sea to free the children of Israel from Egypt. God parted the Jordan River, remember that, to let Joshua and his people into Canaan. And now God has, according to the scripture here, that the way might be prepared, okay? He dries it out, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And so God is literally removing this barrier that has been since the beginning of time. God removes it. He dries up the Euphrates River. And now it is no longer a barrier. Armies can now come from the east and can gather in for the Battle of Armageddon. God has himself removed the barrier. Whereas if you can imagine the armies of the east saying, well, we would attack, but we can't. It's too difficult. We might fly some of our, if there are planes in that day, if there's fuel to fuel them, which certainly is one thing that is discussed often. But the Bible, you know, the Bible's very clear. This is removing the barrier for the kings, plural, of the East. So we always, how many have heard that's China? All right, most of, that's what I heard in the 70s, 80s, in China, they're a mighty power, which they are a mighty power. But it's not just China, because east of the Euphrates is also Iraq, Iran, India, Japan, and China. I mean, there are Korea, there are many powerful nations that are east of the Euphrates. And so now, this barrier has been removed by God to allow them to come and attack. And what else happens in this vial? Well, it talks about these spirits, verse 13, three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. Obviously, we see the influence of demons, a demonic influence through the words that are spoken out of their mouth. It says they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Why? To gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so all of this is taking place, and in my mind, I imagine now the advertising, the promotion of the beast and the Antichrist. You know, all the evil. I can in my mind, I can see the announcements being made that the Antichrist has dried up the river so these armies could come, whatever, you know, or somehow they give Satan the credit or something, but now, everybody's, they're ready to fight. They're ready to fight. Now, there are some that say they're attacking the Antichrist. There are some that say they're attacking each other. There are some that say, you know, all kinds of different things. Personally, I believe it's very clear. The Battle of Armageddon is an attack on God, where man says, that's it. You know, because you say, hadn't man figured out that God's bigger than them? Well, obviously not. Obviously, we'll have church today and we'll have people walk out of here and say no to God, right? We had 700, almost 800 people come into our tent, and many of them walked out and said no. Not interested in God. So we have to recognize that not everybody is going to be convinced and not everybody is going to follow the Lord. And certainly in that time, most will not. Most have already taken the mark of the beast. Most have given their allegiance to the beast. And then they're influenced to rise up against God. Now, this isn't the first time. Because the Bible records a man named Nimrod led the people. And we will talk about that as we talk about the next vial. We'll talk about that a little bit more with Babylon. But a man named Nimrod convinced groups of people by the thousands that they needed to follow him as opposed to God. And they were going to build this tower to heaven. And, history would record that was to take God off his throne. Now, again, who inspired that? Well, Satan did, who challenged God to the throne. No question about that. But how in the world, we think, how could they fall for it? Well, these demonic spirits influence. Certainly, I'm not saying all of the media is demonic, because I don't believe it. All the media is, but I believe a lot of it is. I believe a lot of demonic activity takes place with our music. It takes place with news. It takes place with newspapers. It takes place. A lot of demonic activity, it fuels a lot of the stuff that goes on in our world. And it influences people to do things they would not normally do. Again, if you could imagine somebody, a soldier, saying, I'm going to go shoot my gun at God. You say, I mean, we just say, they got to be kidding. Well, I go back to old Pharaoh leading his soldiers into the Red Sea. And I think, how foolish. And yet, that influence. You say, what's that have to do with us? Because we're influenced too. And we need to be very, very careful understanding Satan has a powerful influence in our world today, and he influences us. We need to be very cautious of his trickery, that we not be influenced, that we stick to the old King James Bible, and we keep proclaiming it. The influence, there's been this talk about our Vacation Bible School, and all I know, I've not heard anything. I just know that it was on the radio. People are upset about our Vacation Bible School because it's Operation Gospel Storm, and we feature the military. Well, I it's like I told the Marine sergeant at the fair, we're proud of you. We're thankful for you, and we're thankful for our military. And I was talking to him about our Vacation Bible School. We showed him the flyers, and he thought that was really neat. And we're trying to get their great big blow-up Marine that they had on their... We're trying to get that out in our yard. Amen? Because I'm not ashamed. Now, I know it's not popular, and I know we have to be careful. And I understand we're not training a bunch of kids to go out here with guns and massacre people. In fact, we're teaching them the opposite. We're teaching about the love of Christ. But I got news for you. The spin always is what Satan has and uses to try to get, they're trying to raise up a militia. I have no desire to be a militia. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. And in the Lord's army, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're fighting the devil. We're fighting principalities and powers. But you know that spin that gets people to do weird things. That's those frog-like creatures. We'll talk about that because I've totally run out of time. But anyway, we will end with that. And I trust it will cause us to be very, very wary of the wiles of the devil and the spin that he puts on so many things. We just need to stick to the old King James Bible. Trust the Lord and his word in everything we do.